Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the city of joy, Kolkata. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
Remember the first day or the first few days after you surrendered your heart to Jesus? I wonder if you have the memory of that day. Maybe a few days ago, few years ago, many decades ago. I don't know what are the memories you carry of that day. Do you remember the euphoria, the emotions at the end of maybe a life-changing conference, like a breakthrough conference? How many of us have memories of those days? I don't know about you, but growing up in this church and my early memories as a teenager, coming out of a service like that, a few things were happening to me. First, I felt like I was on cloud nine. Earthly stuff did not matter. Food did not matter. I am created to worship God. All I wanted was to worship. Or I felt like Moses, ready to part the Red Sea of my life. No water will stop me because that's the faith I have. Or I felt like Iron Man. No weapon formed against me will prosper because I can handle anything. All I felt like MS Dhoni. I can be calm, cool, as no situation is beyond me. The overall feeling you have is one of a brand new experience with Christ. Is of extreme ecstatic happiness. In a sense, our initial experience of following Christ, we feel our goal is happiness. If we are happy, that means Christ is working in us. Paul, one of the earliest disciples of Jesus, he did not have that experience. In fact, the first prophetic word he received as a new child of God, first time he had this prophetic message, there was no special message about you will travel the globe, you will be great, you will be promoted, you will be prosperous, there will be more money added to your bank account. His first message he received was this in Acts 9:16. I wonder if you would like a message like that on the first day you gave your heart to Jesus. Acts 9:16. This is what Paul receives. I will show him how much he must suffer for me. In fact, Paul's message to Timothy, he gave a similar message. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul's word to Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 3:3. You know that you are destined for great things, it says. Does it say that? It says you're destined for such troubles. Sometimes we hear we are destined for great things. But Paul's word was you're destined for such troubles. And you had decided to follow Jesus this morning and you put your faith in Christ. And you're wondering, why am I suffering ever since I gave my heart to Jesus? I should be happy, but I only receive pain. I should be a winner all the time, but it seems I'm a loser most of the time. I should be free from sickness, but it seems I'm sick most of the time. Where is the cloud nine feeling? I don't feel like Iron Man. I am no Moses. You almost feel like going into shutdown mode. How many of us handle computers and laptops on a daily basis? Yes, most of us. And sometimes it happens you're in the middle of your most intense work. Several files open, Word, Excel, all your windows are open. And you're in the climax of your work project. But your mind is frozen. You have no more energy to put in anything. And suddenly you discover that a computer is also frozen. And you try to click things, nothing moves. And then there is something you learned many years ago. Some technician told you this golden word. When nothing works, all that you have to do is press Control Alt Del. And when you press these three things, a new window will come up. You want to shut down, you want to sleep, or you want to restart. How many of us have that experience? And most often we are successful. And sometimes we feel like that in our lives. You feel, you know what, there's too much happening in my life. I want to press Control Alt Del. I don't want to do a restart. I just want to shut down. Enough of all this. So what do you do when you feel like doing control all death? Paul had all the excuses to press control all death. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23 to 27. It gives us the depth of the suffering that Paul experienced. Paul's journey of faith was not one of high happiness, mighty. He was not pompous and prosperous. He was not powerful and victorious. Paul's journey of faith, it was one of personal trauma. If you look in verse 26 onwards, it shows us, he said, I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Personal trauma. Do you have the same experience of Paul? You are privately suffering, working hard long hours, day and night, but without credit. It's traumatic because you are misunderstood most of the time. Even the leaders and believers, people you trusted the most, betray you most of the time. It seems you are the only person having a bad day while others are having a great day. Paul was facing personal trauma. Paul's journey of faith was not just personal trauma, it was one of physical pain. Look at verse 24-25. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 1 lash is enough for us. He had 39 into 5. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was not stoned with anything else, he was stoned with rocks. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. Do you feel like Paul? You are enduring unbearable pain for no fault of yours. Paul's journey of faith was one of personal trauma, physical pain, but it was also one of public disgrace. This is what the Bible says. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. Like Paul, have you been publicly disgraced because you decided to follow Jesus? Paul had reached a point where probably he could press on his life, control all death. Shut down, I don't want to carry anymore. Seated here, you are saying the same thing. I wish I can declare I want to walk by faith. But pastor, I can no longer endure the personal trauma, the physical pain and the public disgrace. Pastor, I'm no longer walking by faith. I'm walking by fear, trembling and shaking all over. All I can feel like doing on my life is control all death. I want to give up. I want to abandon my faith. What do you do when you feel like going into shutdown mode? What was so different about Paul and his faith journey? What kept him going even when he felt like giving up? One of the reasons was his faith was not based on external factors. It was not based on the external factors in a worship service. Sometimes this 2 hours on a Sunday morning decides our faith. Where Jeremy talked about those 2 hours. What will happen during these 2 hours? And sometimes our faith is based on what happens in these 2 hours. Our faith is dependent on the quality of our worship music or worship leaders. How many of us love these worship leaders and musicians? Can you give a big hand for them? They work week after week. And sometimes our faith is dependent on the kind of songs they sing. If they have done a great song, they said, my faith is growing. Great worship, worship leader, great music, musicians. But the worship leader did not do your favorite song. You feel discouraged. And you walk out, my faith was not boosted because the musician and the worship leaders did not sing my favorite song. Sometimes our faith is based on the quality of the pastor's message. Are you blessed by your pastors? Give a big hand to them. But the problem is this sometimes. You say, I wish my pastor spoke like those YouTube, social media, influencer pastor messages. The way they bring up the look on YouTube. Our pastor seems boring and outdated. Their messages are 40, 45 minutes. YouTube only 2 minutes. My pastor did not give me that boost, inspiration or motivation. So my faith is affected. Sometimes our faith is based on the quality of the ushering team. They are laughing and smiling all the time. And sometimes our faith is demotivated because they didn't smile at you. Or the staffer did not smile at me. So my faith is not motivated. I cannot grow in my faith. Paul's faith is based on something deeper and grander. His faith is what I would call as laser-focused faith. Can you tell your neighbor laser-focused faith? The term laser focus has many definitions online. One particular definition I like. Laser focus is the mental ability to give 100% of your attention to the task you are prioritized in the present moment. It helps you to put aside all the delicious, unrelated thoughts and sustain the energy required to reach your goals. That was what was special about Paul. He had this laser focused faith. When you feel like control all del on your spiritual life, faith and journey, it's time to persevere with laser focused faith. Amen. I want us to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 39. It gives us an essence of how to shift from a faith based on emotions and feelings to an unstoppable laser focused faith. Romans 8, I want us to specifically look at this time, 18 to 25. I want you to listen to this very carefully. It says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from decay and death. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Verse 25, let's read it together. But we look forward to something we don't yet have. We must wait patiently and confidently. What is the secret to a laser-focused faith? Firstly, a faith that is focused on life beyond. I want us to look at that passage again. Paul admits we are struggling with suffering. If you look at verse 18 onwards again, I want us to shout out all those words which are highlighted. Can you do that for me? Suffer, creation subjected to God's curse, death and decay, believers also groan from sin and suffering. Paul talks about all this. But in the midst of that, I want us to look at this passage again because there is something else Paul is talking about. I want us to look at these blue highlights. I want you to shout back at me what you see. Glory, waiting eagerly, future day, God will reveal whose children really are. Eager hope, look forward to the day. Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies. Wait with eager hope for the day, including the new bodies he has promised us. Wait patiently and confidently. Excellent. Give a big hand to yourself. To walk in laser-focused faith, you refuse to get stuck and sink in your present pain. I don't know if it happens to you, but I know my sons have a default mode of handling exam pressure. My sons, one is 14, second is 9-year-old. At the peak of the exam pressure, in the middle of the deepest stress, frustration at home, we have these interesting conversations around the dinner table. They'll be thinking of scenarios and plans of what they will do after the exams. Places they will go. Friends they will meet with. Food they will love to eat. Books they would like to read. And sometimes they are so lost in the future glory of the post-exam scenario, they have gone into dream mode. And after the, even after dinner is over, it continues, the dream continues. The history book is open, but the mind has traveled into the future. I don't think Paul was inviting us to spiritual daydreaming. As Christ followers, we are often guilty of spiritual daydreaming to overcome our present physical nightmares. Paul was inviting us to a grander vision. I want you to listen to it carefully. The grandeur of life beyond must shape our groaning of life today. The joy of life beyond must shape our mourning of life today. The intimacy of God with God of life beyond must shape the loneliness of our life today. Who we will become in Christ in life beyond must shape who we are in Christ today. An excellent example of this laser focus on the grander vision of life beyond is Stephen. Acts 7, Stephen is attacked, persecuted by the Jewish leader. Look at this verse. They shook their fists at him in rage. But the Bible says, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens open. And the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. A faith that is focused on life beyond. This afternoon, are you ready to give up and about to abandon it all? Are you in defeat, shutdown mode? It's time to have a laser focused faith. What is the secret to a laser focused faith? Some of you might say, Pastor, I want to keep my focus on the future, but I'm struggling today. I'm weak. I cannot look beyond the now. I want you to look at the next two verses in Romans 8. Romans 8, 26 and 27. The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in word. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. Laser focus, focused on life beyond. Secondly, the laser focus faith is nurtured by the Holy Spirit. The theme for the year is by faith. Walking by faith is not an act of the flesh. We cannot do it. We are a huge mess. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what is God's will. We don't even know the right words to pray. Walking by faith is a faith that is fed and nurtured by the Holy Spirit. When we are weak and we don't even know the next step, either in our profession, ministry, or studies, good news, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of us, you've sat down to pray because you heard in church we must pray? You sit down to pray, but you're numb and silent. No words comes out of your mouth. You don't even know what God wants me to pray. That's when I want you to discover the Holy Spirit praying for us with groans that cannot be put into word. Some of us are facing moments where you're paralyzed in fear. You're not able to handle your office scenario, your family problem, your spiritual walk. You're stuck at the crossroads and confused about God's will. That's when I want you to discover the Holy Spirit pleads for you in harmony with God's own will. Amen. Your faith is laser focused and driven because the Holy Spirit is feeding your faith. You don't know how to pray in faith. The Holy Spirit is going to help you pray. One of my favorite authors is Mark Batterson. He talks about the story of Mother Dabney. In 1925, Elizabeth J. Dabney and her husband went to work for a mission in a place called the City of Brotherly Love. History says there wasn't much love in the brotherhood. It was a divided and broken place. God had called her husband to preach and he had called Mother Dabney to pray. She didn't just pray, she prayed through by the power of the Holy Spirit. At the onset of her ministry, Mother Dabney entered into a covenant to pray with God. Her burning bush experience happened one early morning in the banks of the river. The presence of God overshadowed her as she threw down this prayer challenge before God. These are the words of her prayer. I want you to listen to these words. She said, "Lord, if you will bless my husband in the place you send him to establish your name. If you will break the bonds and destroy the middle wall of partition. If you will give him a church and a congregation, a credit to your people and his kingdom. I will walk with you for 3 years in prayer, both day and night. I will meet you every morning at 9. You will never have to wait for me. I'll be there to greet you. I will stay there all day. I will devote all my time to you. Furthermore, if you listen to the voice of my supplication and break through in that wicked neighborhood and bless my husband." This is what she said. "I will fast 72 hours each week for 2 years. While I'm going through the fast, I will not go home to sleep in my bed. I will stay in church. If I get sleepy, I will rest on newspapers and carpet." She made this prayer covenant with God. It was like a spiritual cloudburst went over that place. Every morning at 9, Mother Dabney greeted the Lord with a hearty, "Good morning, Jesus." Her knees would often go numb from kneeling, but God had extended his mighty right arm. In the next couple of years, the mission, the church was too small to accommodate those whom the Holy Spirit was bringing into that place. The more she prayed through, the more God broke through. How did it happen? The laser-focused faith nurtured by the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, this afternoon, how many of you will admit, "Pastor, I am ready to give up. I can't carry on like this. It's control all del for me." My dear brothers, sisters, it's time for a laser-focused faith. A faith that is focused on life beyond. A faith that is nurtured by the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, I wanted to look at this passage. Verse 28 and 29. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Verse 28 is probably one of the most favorite verses in the Bible. Let's read it together. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would become the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." How many of us love Romans 8:28? We memorize it, we use it all the time. And we quote it for a wide range of purposes. When we fail in our exams, we quote this verse. We preach to our parents. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Sometimes when we have junk food and we fall sick, we quote this verse. God causes everything to work together. When our girlfriend leaves us, we quote this verse. We know that God causes everything to work together for good. Now, that verse provides us temporary relief. But God's purpose is bigger than making you feel good when things go bad. God's purpose is found in verse 29. So when you use 28, you must use verse 29 also. Let's read this phrase in verse 29. "For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son." God's grand purpose for us is to become like Jesus. For us to be Christ-like. If our failure in our examination has helped us to become like Christ, praise God. If our falling sick after junk food helped us to become more like Christ, praise God. If our girlfriend leaving us helps us to become like Christ, hallelujah. Little louder, praise God for young people. It works both ways, not just girlfriend. Boyfriend leaving also might be good for some people. But according to God's will, don't say, "Pastor Jacob said this on Sunday morning, so I need to leave." Laser-focused faith helps us to overcome our personal trauma, physical pain, and public disgrace. And helps us to rediscover the purpose of God for our life. Reminded of the story about a little boy who was about to have a heart surgery. The surgeon sat beside the boy's bed. His parents sat across him. The surgeon said to the little boy, "Son, tomorrow morning I will open up your heart." The little boy interrupted the surgeon and said, "You will find Jesus there." The surgeon looked annoyed and continued, "I will cut open your heart to see how much damage has been done." The little boy quickly said, but when you open up a heart, you will find Jesus there. The surgeon looked at the parents, ignoring the little boy, and said, when I see how much damage has been done, I will know what to do next. Again, the little boy said, but you will find Jesus in my heart. The Bible says he lives there. You will find him in my heart. The surgeon had enough. And he said to the little boy, son, I will tell you what I will find there. I will find damaged muscle, low blood supply, weakened vessels. I will find out if I can make you well. Once again, the little boy said, you will find Jesus there. He lives there. A day later, after the surgery was done, the surgeon went back to his office and he was sitting in his office. And he took the notes from the surgery. Damaged pulmonary vein. Widespread muscle degeneration. No hope for transplant, no hope for cure. Therapy, painkillers and bed rest. Prognosis, he paused before recording his final word. Prognosis, death within 1 year. He stopped his recorded and sat there. Then he asked aloud, Lord, why do you do this? Lord, you put him here. You put him in this pain. Lord, you cursed him to an early death. Why, Lord? Then the Lord began to speak to the heart of the surgeon. The boy was not meant to live long on this earth. He belongs to me and soon he will be with me forever. Hot tears started running down the surgeon's face and in anger he told God again. Lord, you created that boy. And you created that heart and he'll be dead in months. Why, Lord? Then the Lord spoke to the heart of the surgeon. I send the boy to reach you and make you one of my children. Later, the surgeon sat down beside the boy's bed. The parents sat across from him. The little boy awoke and whispered, did you cut open my heart? Surgeon said, yes. What did you find there? Surgeon said, I found Jesus there. I want you to know that when you go through the storm, you'll find Jesus there. He is on board. He is with us. A faith that is shaped by God's purpose. This Sunday, do you feel, you know what, Pastor? I cannot carry on with this faith. My default mode is all control del. My prayer is that you'll have this laser focused faith. What is the secret to a laser focused faith? A faith that is laser focused on life beyond. Laser focused, nurtured faith, nurtured by the Holy Spirit. A faith that is shaped by God's purpose. But you're looking at all these 3 points. You're telling, Pastor, looking beyond is great. Holy Spirit leading me is wonderful. God's purpose is important. But Pastor, sometimes I still cannot make it. I'm still ready to give up. I'm too broken to hang in there. That's why Paul introduces us to the ultimate element of living a laser-focused faith. I want us to look at verse 31 to 39. I want us to stand up as we read this passage together. I want us to look at this passage and I want you to read as loud as possible. Can we do that? Verse 31 onwards. If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Verse 38. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to go back to that passage again. I want us to look at verse 31. You'll see some of those blue highlights. I want us to tell that to our neighbor. Can you do that? Won't he also give us everything else? Verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Verse 37. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. 38. Can you shout it louder? Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Message is not over yet. Finally, the fourth point. Laser focus faith is secure in God's love. There's an old familiar song we sung when we were growing up as kids in this church. Words goes like this. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Then the words goes on like this. Never use the word defeat. Claim his promises, every one of them. Every spoken word he will hear. Because we are everything to him. Hallelujah. When you're going through your worst pain, you cannot endure the faith journey anymore. God's love holds you together. You can be secure in God's love. Reminded of the story of a little girl who came once to her pastor and said, Pastor, I don't love Jesus anymore. I wish you would tell me how to love Jesus. The pastor told the little girl, Little girl, as you go from here today, keep saying to yourself, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. And I believe next Sunday you will come back and you will say, I love Jesus. The next week, the little girl came back to the pastor, full of joy and excitement. She said, Oh, Pastor, I do love Jesus. Pastor said, What happened? He said, As I went from here last week, as you taught me, I kept saying to myself, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And then soon I saw Jesus hanging on the cross, dying an awful agony for me. And my heart grew warm. Very soon my heart was full of love for Jesus. We love him because he first loved him. This afternoon, are you feeling like giving up? Ready to quit? Shutdown mode. You cannot handle your personal trauma, the physical pain, the public disgrace. I can just go through this audience. I know many of you are going through a difficult time. The doctor's report has not been that great. School reports have not been that great. Financial bank reports have not been that great. And you're seated here today and saying, How can I worship the Lord? I cannot carry on anymore. My invitation to you this afternoon is this. It's time to reach out and touch the Lord. Old song once again. Words goes like this. Reach out and touch the Lord. Touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he is not too busy to answer your heart's cry. Okay. He is passing by this moment and Jesus wants to touch you. If only you will reach out to the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you would stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram by using @AGCKolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.